you, as a young person, you know, just getting out there and trying as many things as you can, because with that, you're going to figure out so much about yourself. You're going to learn so much about yourself, man. It's going to unlock so many things that you probably weren't able to see. So I think as a young person, I think if you're still trying to figure it out, just keep going, because the day you stop is the day you stop all momentum that's going behind you. And I tell everybody this, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is, you just got to keep pushing, because you can go hard so long for 4 years, and it may seem unclear, but that fifth year can be your biggest year of your life. You can get that big breakthrough. You can make the most money in your life. It can just happen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Twin Talks Time. I have a special guest today. I'm so excited for today's episode. We're going to be talking about legacy, entrepreneurship, nonprofit work, and changing our community. I'm talking to someone who is building our community and implementing this every single week and every single day. I'm here with Sebastian Sanders, who is actually my mentor as well. Before we begin, do not forget to favorite our podcast, subscribe, rate it, and follow our podcast, which is Twin Talks Time Podcast. So Sebastian, tell us who you are and what do you do?
All right, cool. So my name is Sebastian Sanders. I'm a recent graduate from the University of Texas at San Antonio with my bachelor's in business management. I'm originally from Houston, Texas. So I grew up in Houston all my life, went to school in San Antonio. Once I graduated, I relocated to Oklahoma City, working with Pepsi in management and sales. So now I'm up here living in Oklahoma City. But you know who I am, man. I am a social entrepreneur, a youth motivational speaker, a business development coach. I like to say I'm a very diversified businessman, advocate for community change, the CEO and the founder of The Sanders Hand, chairman of the SJS Enterprises. And, you know, who I am basically is everything that I do. You know, everything that I do is a representation of myself and a lifestyle. So I try to, you know, put everything that I do into a full force motion to inspire others to change the world.
Okay, that sounds great. But you are so young and you've done so much already and you're implementing so much change in the education system. So I wanted to ask, before we even get into everything that you do, firstly, what advice can you give to people in their early 20s? What led you to be like a powerhouse at such a young age, who's still continuously growing, but has achieved so much and continues to work so hard?
So for me, you know, being so young, I felt like that I, the inspiration and the drive that you have at a young age is something that's extremely valuable, but we also take for granted. So for me, I felt like my biggest thing was, you know, if I wanted to have certain things in life, you know, I have a lot of personal goals. And if I wanted to get to those things, I have to have a full force motion going forward. I have to be all 100% in. I just have to keep pushing. And for me, you know, I feel like you're never too old to do something and you're never too young to do something. And as long as you have that courage, that motivation, that passion and that fire behind you, you know, the sky is the limit. And for me, you know, starting out my journey, it started off around 1920, but I also had it in me since I was a youth, being somebody super young. My father exposed me to a lot of different business practices. I kind of fell in love with that at an early age. I grew up with a lot of discipline, so I kind of already had it in my mindset. It was just up to me, you know, if I was going to put it into some type of full motion and actually go forward with it. So that was pretty much everything for me. And, you know, being somebody that, you know, very in tune with culture, very in tune with the society, I see a lot of different things. And so, you know, being young, I feel like there's no reason to wait, you know, because if you wait, then that's a problem that could have been serviced or changed. And, you know, you could have did something about it and then it could have got worse or different things like that. So I kind of look at it from that perspective. You know, if I don't do it, then who will do it? And then, you know, you have to think about all the people who need your help or need your service. You have to take them into a factor. And that's kind of my motivation of why I do the things that I do at such an early age.
I love that you mentioned not waiting, because one person that also works a lot in building the education system is Eric Thomas, which I'm pretty sure you're aware of him. And he mentions when you want to make a change, you have to consider building a plan and starting early, because especially with education, he says that it takes quite a while for that change to be implemented. I know he mentioned in one of his recent podcasts that when you want to change your curriculum, by the time you might even have your kids, that change might only be significant and big enough and happening once your kids get through the school system. So it's important not to wait and not to dwell on, you know how we are as people. Sometimes you want to wait so long, you'd be like, when I'm ready. But there is no when I'm ready, because you're not always aware of what changes are going to happen, the obstacles. Sometimes the best time to start is just as soon as you have the idea and learning as you progressively grow. I'm sure you can agree with that.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. You have to start young. And the biggest thing with starting with our kids young is because they grow up with that mindset. You know, think about it. If you could go back to like second grade, third grade, you remember something that happened or something that was said to you. And it kind of has stuck with you as you have gotten older. And if we mold those things into our kids, into our systems at an early age, those kids will grow up and grow through the system with that mindset. And I'll already have those tangibles they need to be successful. And mm-hmm. if you wait until these kids get to high school, you know, it may be hard for you to reach certain kids in high school, because when you're at high school, your mind is more mature. You kind of think on your own. It's kind of hard for somebody to pull you back in. So it's easier for us to start off at a young age, and we have to start off and build it. You know, you got to think about a lot of the most successful businesses or the most successful organizations. They all started off real young, and they attacked a real young audience that grew with them. For example, Boys and Girls Club. Boys and Girls Club, a lot of those kids start off at 4 to 5 years old. They stay with Boys and Girls Club all the way until they're like 18 years old. And then those students go off into their careers, and they often become volunteers. They often become mentors right mm-hmm. back into the Boys and Girls Club. So if you take that same blueprint and method, use that towards a business or towards the education system, you will have a greater return on investment. You can, you know, produce more of the individuals or the type of ideas and things that you uh-huh. want inside of your society and community.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask you real quick, how do you feel about the term motivational speaker? I know a lot of people now believe it sounds a bit gimmicky, or it's not taken as seriously as it was, I believe, when people started doing it. What can I say? I want to say negative connotations people give to it, because that's something, of course, you do, and it makes a positive change in people's lives. But how do you feel about the way people use the term?
Oh, I'll be real with you. You know, using the term motivational speaker is to me, it's a little, I don't really like it all, if that makes sense. I don't really like using it all of the time. But I feel now with the new digital wave and the new social media wave, we have gotten to a point where it's like everybody wants to consider themselves a motivational speaker. And you have to think about it like this. A lot of people do things for, you know, for their personal gain. So a lot of people throw the title okay. motivational speaker and they speak, you know, because the camera's on them or the video's on them. You know, for me, I was reading a post about another guy that I like. And he was saying that you have to be able to speak towards your audience so they can gain content or they can gain a purpose from it. If you're just speaking just to speak, just to, so you can get some content or some stuff for your Instagram story or your Instagram page, then you're not necessarily a motivational speaker. You have to value your impact. And I think a lot of people kind of get that misconstrued because everybody nowadays just label themselves as a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
But in reality, have you ever talked in front of 100 or 1,000 people? Have you ever motivated somebody to change their life for the greater good? And I think that's what you have to start defining a motivational speaker as. You know, are they really changing lives, or is just I'm just speaking in front of a group of people rambling about something, and I'm mm-hmm. going to put it out there and place myself as a speaker. So you have to think about those different things. But I think now we're going to stray away from motivational speaker.
Okay.
I think it's going to go into something else. I think that term, it was good in the beginning because you didn't have so many people doing it,
that's
and you
true.
Didn't have that many platforms. You know, streaming it. I think now, since you're going into a more digital age, I think you have to start weeding it out and start labeling people as certain things. So if you are a digital speaker and you can speak about digital age, then I think you would be a digital speaker.
Okay.
If you are a business person, you would be a business speaker. And I think you would have to separate it by category going into this next phase of, you know, digital and life as it is.
That's smart. I've never even thought about that. That's spot on. So can you tell me about the Sanders Hand, and what is it in the education system you wanted to change? Because every education system is different. I can speak to that being from Zimbabwe, which we learned the Cambridge and the Oxford system. So it's the curriculum is significantly different, although there are similarities. But what is it about the American education system you feel you needed to change or would love to change?
Yes. So I would say the biggest thing for education system that I wanted to change was growing up in high school and middle school, curriculums, I felt they were good, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think now, as I said, as you go towards more of the digital age, things are advancing. Kids have a lot of more technology resources. You have to think about what's out of date and what do we need to modernize? And a lot of different things is that, you know, our students need to be more caught up and more put up to a standard where when it's time for them to go off to college, they're not having a lack of. And I think that is our biggest problem in our schools. Our students, they go off and they go take Algebra 1 and they go and take History 3 and things like that. But then we go off to college and when it's time for them to learn about like personal life and finances, our students don't know anything. And especially in our impoverished community, those students are not exposed to those type of things for a many of reasons. And, you know, I think we have to create a curriculum that's going to better suit those students when it's time for them to graduate. Because how do you expect a student growing up in a impoverished community, you know, having a lack of resources? You want them to go to college. You want them to be successful. But they're in school 8 hours a day. They have not learned anything about finances, professional skills, leadership skills, resume skills, anything. And then we want those exact students to go off to college. And we kind of force them to do what they wanted to go off to college. And then it's like, what's next for them? And then they go off to college and they're in a classroom full of students who have had a lot of those resources in different communities. They have had different things going on for themselves. So they're automatically at a disadvantage. And that's why you see the dropout rate, you know, starts to increase in college, because we send these kids off, but we're not even preparing them. And we have to change that, because if you don't prepare them, you know, I always say preparation prevents failure. Mm-hmm. If we do not prepare these students, I don't see how we expect the next generation to just live up to all these, you know, these dreams that we want them to live up to. So I think we have to start looking at ourselves and looking at it like this, like things worked for the last 40 to 50 years, but we're going into a new decade. You have to change. You have to, you know, change with time. And I think it's not going to be an easy process. I think it's going to be a process that's going to take time, but I think it's important for myself and people like you who are very strong minded and business minded, but also have a real good touch for education. Mm-hmm. It's up to us to continue to push the envelope forward, because if we don't do it, then the next generation will suffer. And I can already see right now, man, if we don't implement none of these programs inside the schools, you're going to start seeing a lot of kids drop out. Because they're going to feel like I can do a lot of things on my own outside of school, which is starting businesses, learning how to do finances, let me go work, things like that. And then what are you going to do then? Mm-hmm. Then if you're not having kids in school, then how are you producing money? And how are we, you know, it's just a lot of questions that will go unsolved if we don't make these necessary changes. And I think it just starts at home. It starts with the core. It starts with the root of getting to the schools, implementing programs, and really making an impact. And when I say that, you know, my biggest thing for creating my programs was, I have to create something that the kids want. I don't want to create something that I feel that they should learn, because I don't want to become that person who's forcing my personal views on a student. So it took a while for me, you know, I was out in the field gaining experience and seeing what the kids needed, which is why we created Define Success, you know, teaching you how to define success for yourself. And through that, we teach you a series of elements that you would not get inside of your traditional 8-hour classroom.
Can you tell me about the structure of Sanders Hand? I know you've mentioned before in previous podcasts that you are a 50C31 profit. What does that mean? As well as what is nonprofit work like? Because, of course, your goal is different from a privately owned business that focuses on, you know, making profit. Can you explain to me just the major difference and walk us through what that entails?
Yeah, so 501c3 nonprofit is basically that you're official nonprofit recognized by the IRS and the state. That means you're able to receive all types of resources, benefits, donations from big time corporations and everybody for tax purposes, things like that. And you know, our structure is built off of you know, the traditional nonprofit system is, you know, you receive a lot of grants, receive a lot of donations, things like that. But with myself, the Sanders Hand was created with more of a social entrepreneurship aspect, mainly because you have to be in touch with the current economy. So with that, you know, I created a system where, it's practically like a business, but our services is for the greater good of the community. And with that, this is how our programs are operated. This is how a lot of different things are operated. So, the Sanders Hand is traditionally like a modern business scale, but just with greater of the community. And the structure was built, you know, from pretty much a top down method. You know, you have your board of directors. Mm-hmm. Then you have myself, CEO and the founder. Then you have your general staff, and then you have your volunteers. Now, the biggest thing with our structure is everybody has a voice. We're not just using it to where the management makes all of the decisions. Mm-hmm. Even the volunteers who have only volunteered with us for a day, we love to give them a voice. You know, I think it's strength in numbers, and the more that we emphasize on collaboration and partnership is how we can push the envelope forward. Because, you know, granted that, you know, I myself being a CEO and a founder, You know, I've done a lot of different things, but I wouldn't be able to do those things if I didn't have that line of network or those line of connections. And so that's basically how the San Jose was built. You know, just structuring a lot of different community partnerships, reaching out, making sure that we are servicing others and not just worried about servicing ourselves. And with that, you know, we like to support other organizations. You know, if you're having an event or something like that, then we'll love to come out and see what we can do. So that's the biggest mm-hmm. thing, with us, you know, just make we have strength in numbers.
Okay. That makes sense. I also like the idea of collaboration and involving everyone, which is, I do have a question for you later that touches on that. I also wanted to ask you if you had a specific experience that made you realize you needed to really do something about, you know, not just the education system, but about etiquette, financial literacy, leadership, because you did mention before that your father was one of your biggest mentors, which I think helped you and guided you in differentiate, you know, what was maybe another student was experiencing, what you were experiencing that made you realize you could aid people in a certain way. Was there an experience that really made you realize I need to do something besides your own personal, you know, motivation and being driven?
Yes. I think for me, my thing was I was in college at the time and I was kind of, you know, not really living up to my full potential. I guess I was having too much fun mm-hmm. or different things like that. And for me, I realized that you only get 4 years in college and, you know, the big question is what's after that? And I just start thinking about my future a lot. And I'm the type of person, like, I have a lot of different goals that I want. And it's like, okay, realistically, I always ask myself, how are you going to get to those goals if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing currently? And that was just my thing. And once I realized that that was kind of my motivation, I had to figure out exactly what am I going to do as a person to kind of, you know, push that forward. And for me, I think it was just one day it all came together. I was like, okay, I wanted to do a charity event. Mm-hmm. But then I realized I do that. And I'm the type of person, I'm very competitive and I like to challenge okay. myself. So I challenged myself to do something greater. And San Jose was created. And since then, it's just been a fire right behind it. And we've been going forward ever since.
Yeah, that makes sense. So can you walk me through your favorite programs that you run or one of your favorites or your camps? What are the requirements to take part in your camps? Because I do know you work a lot with high school students. Do you have anything for college students or what are your camps and programs like?
Yeah, so our camps and programs are, so we have our Define Success Leadership Camp. It's a 4 to 6 week program at different school districts and different community organizations, just depending on the location. So through this, the students learn a series of different professional leadership skills, such as interviews, resumes, financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and professional etiquette. So the students graduate from the program the 5th or 6th week, just depending on our time frame mm-hmm. that's given. They graduate and they become student San Jose student ambassadors. With that, our students graduate. And with that, we have our youth summit, which is pretty much an hour or 2 hour summit of everything cultivated into one. And then we break those down into our education program and what we offer, leadership camp, and then you have the youth summit. And then basically we service right around 6th through 10th grade. That's our age group, but we are not keen to not open it up to other organizations. I'm sorry, other okay. Age groups. So we have students from pretty much all over. And occasionally working with the college students, a lot of those sessions are more of one-on-ones, more of a interpersonal interaction, because college students are a lot that's busier. You may not be able to get a group of college students on a consistent basis. So a lot of college students, that kind of goes over to the to my personal business, which is my business coaching under the SJS Enterprises. Then I take those students in and then I work with them one-on-ones. Traditionally, San Jose programs are ran just like that. We reach out to different community engagement leaders at the school districts, teachers, career counselors, things like that. And we sit down, we talk about ways that we can help their students, ways they can help us. We get the curriculum together, and that's how our students get serviced in. And we really don't discriminate because all over students, you will find a student that needs that guidance and that mm-hmm. mentorship. So we don't discriminate at all. The only thing is we just ask our students to come in with great energy. And
that makes sense. I just have, I don't know if how you find this question, but I just thought it's important to ask, how do you think you've drawn children's attention?
So basically, I like this because, I always said that my biggest thing was, I guess, my youthful, attitude, because Me personally, in high school, I was a, I guess you could say a class clown. You know, I won most humorous and things like that. But that's just always been my personality. Always fun and always, you know, cracking jokes and having fun. And I guess just having a real good spirit. And I think that translates with our kids, being very transparent with them. And I think, that energy rubs off. And I'll tell you straight up, working with youth, they are very blunt and they'll tell you straight up how they feel. So you'll know if they actually are receptive to, you know, what's going on or not. And a lot of our students, they're always engaged because, you know, we just come in being real. I always tell my team, you know, let's not go in and talk about we did this, we did that. We're not here to be on our own soapbox. We're here to, you know, inspire and motivate them. So that's just how we come in with them. Mm-hmm. We have fun. And I think we're easy to relate because we're not too far from the age. We are a mixed, diverse group. We all come from different backgrounds, and I think students can relate mm-hmm. to us. And I think if you're looking to work with youth, you have to know that area. You have to do your history. You just have to know what's going on, because you can't go inside of a community thinking you know what's going on, and then you're trying to talk about certain things or implement certain things, and it's just not resonating with those uh-huh. kids or that community. So I think you just got to know who you're talking to. You got to know your audience. And I think that's one of our biggest things is we studied our audience. We knew what our audience was. And like I said, just be yourself, go in there and have fun. You know, I stayed away from trying to go in there and talk about my accomplishments and saying I did this, I did that, because man, you do that the first time the kids are just done. They're automatically really? Done with it. They don't want to hear it. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, because I guess because you get a lot mm-hmm. of people who do that. And I think, once you just come in there being real and you're showing them that, hey, we care, this is who we are. And I think you would just have fun. And that's just always been my connection with the kids. And like I said, I like to have fun with them. I crack a lot of jokes doing my presentations, make them smile, make myself smile, that's and good. We have a good time.
I feel like that's also very sincere. So I think, like you said, they do love that. So one of the things I noticed about your profile that yeah. I really like was you share a lot about your Christian values and your Christian journey with entrepreneurship. I just wanted you to share personally, how has your spiritual journey aided your entrepreneurship journey, and also just in general, all the work you do in people's lives?
My biggest thing was having a relationship with God. I think that was really one of the most driven things. And as of recently, I've made an effort to, you know, grow that relationship with him. And I just think having that faith and belief, I think that just takes you a long way. Mm-hmm. I think as a person, you have to have some higher power that you believe in. And, once I kind of figured that out, and, you know, I'm still figuring that out. You know, I'm not the perfect Christian. And I'm not all the way there yet, but you know, every day I try to work on my relationship with God. Now there are times where, you know, you may struggle, you may not be up to par, you may be feeling down. And I think that's what, builds character. But I think you just have to have that belief. And I think once you learn to figure out what's your God-given purpose, I think a lot of things become a lot easier for you because the vision is more clear now. And I think for me, I think I'm right there with my purposes. I think there's a few things that I might have to unlock here in my future, but I think God has did wonders in my life, showing me this is what mm-hmm. I want you to do. Because there was times where when I first moved to Oklahoma City, you know, I didn't know exactly how we get things going because it's a new territory. That's it was just true. New for me, you know, not really having all of my resources and friends here. It's going to be extremely hard being a one man show. And I prayed on it. And literally that same week, God literally called me and I'm not going to say literally called mm-hmm. me, but he was like, you know, I got you. I was able to connect two men that I met out here. They were awesome. They connected me with so many people, and I literally got my programs, in like a week. We got that set up, and I got another speaking engagement. And that was all after I sat down and kind of prayed about it. And it's just been a journey. And like I said, I'm still yeah. working on that relationship, still trying to figure out a lot of different things. I always had that belief in God, but I think now just getting that relationship and I never know what my future may turn out to be. You know, I've always said I wanted to build a church or something like that. So, you know, I just never know mm-hmm. what the future has in store for me.
So did you find a church very easily that mm-hmm. you can go to in Oklahoma, like in Oklahoma City, that a church that feels like a home church for you?
Yeah. So I have right now, I've connected with a great mentor here. He's a great person in the community. He connected me to his church. His church is very great, very traditional, more like what I'm used to in Houston. So I go there occasionally, and then I have another church, more of the modern churches. So I kind of bounce back and forth between the two. But I feel like both of those are some really good churches for me that I can consider home as long as I'm here. So yeah, I found a real good church community here. You know, just being more consistent in you know, my everyday efforts of going and things like that. That's mm-hmm. that's pretty much the biggest thing.
Do you think consistent attendance makes a big difference as far as like your journey? That's something we talked about in one of our podcasts was Christ in College, because we noticed that most times, especially for international students, sometimes when you go abroad, you don't always start going to church as often as you do when you're back home. Or we noticed some people think it's really important too. What would you say? Do you think it's super important?
That's a good question, because that's something I'm trying to balance, because I know a lot of people, I know nowadays with the digital age, a lot of people will stay mm-hmm. home and they get the word through internet. So it's kind of something that I'm trying to figure out, like, okay, what is the
balance? I guess you could say the balance. I don't know, because yeah, I know churches, yeah. they say I've heard the reason why it's important to go to church is fellowship with other Christians. That's what I've heard, is then interacting mm-hmm. with other Christians yeah, and learning yeah, from them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, you know, getting that interaction, getting that networking in. I think that's one of the funnest things. But that's something I'm still working on. I'm still trying to balance, you know, figuring out what's the great way to intake the word and really just, you know, just grow. And I that's something I love doing, you know, the relationship building. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like I said, it's an uphill battle. It's an exciting journey, mm-hmm. and I'm still figuring it out.
If there's anything I've noticed about Sander's Hand is you guys continuously expand and grow every single week, from team to programs to location. And I think that's, to be honest, I think that's phenomenal, because that means you guys are consistently putting in a lot of work all the time. So that makes me think you have a strong team and you value collaboration, especially as a CEO and founder. You do believe in delegating. And you did mention actually earlier that everyone matters to you. So how did you find the right people, or what advice would you give people as far as expansion?
You know, finding people who are like-minded, who are very passionate, but also, you know, just growing with others. I think that was the biggest thing for this Sander's Hand is, you know, I was a young person in college, and I was surrounded by so many other young people, and I had a lot of friends who, you know, just were willing to help and support. And that was my biggest thing, is just having that team and that effort and putting together everything. I like I said, I like to mm-hmm. see myself as a visionary. So I like to put people in position where I know in a few years that they can grow and succeed in. And that was my biggest thing. And I think I have an eye for talent mm-hmm. development, finding people and finding ways to put them in positions. So I took pride in that and putting together a team. And, you know, my biggest thing is being a leader. I think being transparent and being a servant leader, doing things that I would showing them things that I would do, and putting them in positions to do things that I would do as well. You know, I wouldn't put you to do something that I definitely wouldn't get out there and do on my own. So, and I think being very servant, making sure that your people always are very happy, they're served, and making sure that they are always in good spirit, I think that's what thrives a business, because you don't want them going to work every day like, oh man, yeah, I don't like doing this, I hate doing this, because then they won't have the effort in, you know, morale is low. So for me, my biggest thing was, okay, how can I make this a happy and fun environment that everybody feels, you know, great, loving and thriving, but we're also growing and building at the same time. And I think it starts from the top. You know, my team see me do all the hard work. They look at it like, okay, if he does it, then we can do it. And I think once you show them that, man, your business is unlimited. The potential is unlimited. But as a leader, you have to have that thrive in you. Once you have it in you, man, mm-hmm. your team will follow suit.
I hate to make it feel like you have to brag, but I did want you to mention how many places you've expanded to, just for the audience to know. Because, of course, when people listen in, they're going to be learning about what work you do, and I just want them to know where you've expanded to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now we have expanded outside of Texas. We are now here in Oklahoma City. So I just graduated our kids this week in our Define Success Leadership Camp. We had about 17 students graduate. I was so grateful, so blessed mm-hmm. for that. I had a great time with my kids. So our students graduated here. Our team in San Antonio right now they just finished up a teen summit this week. They're about to kick off their programs here in the next few weeks. So that's going to be pretty big for them. Right now we're working on our 2020 projects. We're working on our different scholarships, working on our Houston team. things like that. So we're expanding pretty much all over the place, opening up a lot of different programs, opening up a lot of different curriculums. We're working with a lot of new territory, you know, we're servicing different territories mm-hmm. that we weren't able to service last year. I think that's a very exciting part. And then right now our team is growing at a rapid rate without me being there, which is extremely exciting. Just to see all the hard work being pushed and things like that. So we're one day at a time. It's just something great happening uh-huh. for us, and I'm just grateful.
So you mentioned leadership a lot in your posts and your work. How can everyone, or especially people who are, let's say, confused in their early 20s, how do you think you can develop that leadership and realize what your potential is? Because I think in college we have typically, I feel, two types of I want to say students or people, someone who really knows what they want to do and is molding continuously and building on that. And then there's always maybe students who really don't even know where to start, what to do, and what to become.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is just getting out there and getting experience. I think the more you mm-hmm. experience life and the more you experience things, I think it's easier for you to grow as a person. You, as a young person, you know, just getting out there and trying as many things as you can, because with that, you're going to figure out so much about yourself. You're going to learn so much about yourself, man. It's going to unlock so many things that you probably weren't able to see. So I think as a young person, I think if you're still trying to figure it out, just keep going, because the day you stop is the day mm-hmm. you stop all momentum that's going behind you. And I tell everybody this, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it is, you just got to keep pushing, because you can go hard so long for 4 years, and it may seem unclear, but that fifth year can be your biggest year of your life. You can get that big breakthrough. You can make the most money in your life. It can just happen. And I think the more you just go out there and you grind, I think the more you appreciate it. And my biggest thing is there's a lot of beauty in the process, which is, you know, what people like to say was beauty in the struggle. There's a lot of beauty in the struggle, because for me, you know, the times that I felt like that I've struggled, that has built a lot of character. Now, if I didn't grow through any of those painful experiences, I wouldn't be here today saying that I have programs operating in two different states at the same time. And to be 22 years old, I wouldn't be able to say that if I didn't grow through the moments that made me question who I am as a person. It made me question my future. So you just got to keep pushing, man, no matter how hard it gets. And I think the biggest thing right now as a 20-year-old or a young person in general, you have to learn who you are, because society can define who you are. Social media can define who you are. Even your parents can define who you are. You have to figure out, what's my identity? Who am I? Once you figure that out, a lot of these things that will come a lot easier, and you will realize that, hey, this is who I am, and the world will accept me for who I am. And then once that becomes the passion, everything that you have, the goals that you have, it all will align. But you have to have a clear purpose, because if your purpose isn't clear, it's going to be hard for you to thrive in business or thrive in your personal life when you don't really have a purpose. You have to be able to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. And I think as a young person, that's our downfall. We want to be able to please everybody. But in reality, as long as we're able to please ourselves and love ourselves, I think that's the most important thing. So figuring those things out, is what every young person should be trying to figure out.
That's true. One of the things you mentioned was momentum. And I just wanted to share one of the biggest lessons I've learned about that is when you lose momentum and make it okay, especially with quitting, you tend to get very comfortable with that. Because I know even Beyonce says you tend to soak in that, and that becomes natural to you. So quitting on yourself and not making yourself accountable, because I think it becomes a habit. So like you said, that 4 years of grit and grinding, continuously pushing yourself is important, because I think it also just teaches you work ethic and discipline and resilience, which I think is one of the biggest lessons to learn, because being able to push yourself beyond even obstacles and tough times is so important. Because I mean, pain and obstacles are like a universal constant. They don't go away, they continuously change, but you always will face them. So momentum is very important. I love that you mentioned that, because that's a big lesson I've learned. Since you recently moved from Texas to Oklahoma, anything you'd like to share about relocating with any of our, you know, students, or maybe we even have people who have graduated listening, anything about major adjustments, apartment shopping, or a job in a whole different state?
Yes. I think the biggest thing is planning ahead. Me planning ahead made my move a lot easier, because once I got here, I pretty much had everything lined up. I already knew what I wanted to do. I already had the connections made. So make sure you plan ahead, but also just take that leap. A lot of people are very afraid to take that next step. And I think that's what separates the good from the great. In life, you're going to have to take some risks. Sometimes you're going to have to do some things that you don't want to do, but there's a bigger goal. And I think any person, you know, you don't want to move from your hometown where you have family and friends that, especially coming from Houston, mm-hmm. going to Oklahoma City, that's a major drop off. I mean, there's no disrespect to the city, but you know, Houston is Houston for a reason. So I think, you know, having me just being the type of person that I am and realizing that there's something bigger out there. And if I don't take that risk, you don't want to live with regrets. So I think any young person, if you have an opportunity to go somewhere, go get that experience, because the richest people in life are not the most people with the most money. It's with their richest people in life and their experience. Have you ever met a person who has traveled a lot and done a lot? That person knows a lot about everything. And they just know how to interact and just get into a situation and just be themselves and really just live life to the fullest. So I think as any young person, your mindset should to be able to just go out and travel, because you don't want to be 34, 35 years old thinking about your life and like, oh man, I should have took this job there. I could have, no telling where I would have been. And I always tell myself, I don't want to live with regrets. So any young person who's thinking about moving, I'm 100% behind you. Go out there and get that experience. Go move, you know, your family will always be there to support you. Everybody will always be mm-hmm. there, but you have to think about your future. Biggest thing with that is I think you should, you know, find somewhere that you love to stay. A lot of people like to say, well, I live above you, but don't live above means whatever. Yeah. Don't live above your means. Make sure your finances are straight. Make sure you have everything lined up and make sure you're on some type okay. of specific budget or some specific plan to be able to suit yourself. But man, Just stay somewhere that you would feel comfortable and you would feel safe. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, those long days, those long nights, making sure you have somewhere to go home and call home and that you love it. I think that's the most important thing. I love coming home every day. I feel so grateful and blessed to even have the opportunity to live somewhere that I, mm-hmm. you know, that I like to live. I love it. I think that's the most important thing. But financial, I think you should always invest. Always put a lot of money into your savings. Every check that you get, every investment, always throw money back into your savings. You know, I just think make sure you take care of the little things. You know, don't spend more than you make. Don't go out and live in a lifestyle that's not for you. You know, take calculated risk. Don't just spend money because you have yes. it. And then, I think those are the most important things.
Listeners or audience connect with you or watch your journey with the Sanders Hand and also just with Sebastian Sanders himself as a speaker and as a life coach.
Yeah. So, my journey right now is just, you know, pushing it every day. You know, you're able to connect with me, through a series of platforms. My personal Instagram is at Sebastian J. Sanders. You can check out the Sanders Hand at SandersHand.org. You can follow, us on Twitter as well at SandersHand.org, Facebook, SandersHand.org. Visit our website, www.sandershand.org. And then if you follow us on Instagram, our email is in the bio, so you can always reach out and send us any business inquiries. Same for myself. My email is in my bio.
So before we finish off, Sebastian, is there anything you'd like to share, any advice or something you want to finish off with?
Yes. I would just like to finish it off with, you know, you have greatness inside of you. It's up to you to bring that greatness out. So whatever you do in life, make sure you go all 100% in. Make sure you just be yourself, love yourself. And I think the biggest thing is creating something that your future self will thank you for, and creating a legacy that you want to be mm-hmm. that you want to be remembered for. As long as you can go home and go to sleep at night knowing that you're creating a change for somebody else and you're creating generational wealth and success for yourself and your family, I think that's one of the biggest things as young people. So just find ways to multiply your efforts and reinvent yourself, and, you know, just have fun, you know, just get out there and travel, get experience, you know, do the things that you always wanted to do, and do things that your future family will thank you for. I think those are the most important things that I like to live by. And I want mm-hmm. everybody to feel inspired by it, to live by as well.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sebastian, for being here. I really appreciate all the major information and gems you've shared with us. I actually really hope they help a lot of people, and I hope people connect with you. So please do not hesitate to connect with Sebastian, guys. One of the first messages I actually ever sent him was, hey, I like your Instagram profile. I'd really love to learn from you. I'm not sure if you remember that. That's how I connected with you. So, I hope you guys learned a little bit about legacy, entrepreneurship, nonprofit work and how to make a change in your community. So please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast, to follow, like, and connect with your co-host, Dee, Liz, or Sebastian himself. And thank you so much for listening.